This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bringing our man Eddie Gonzalez. Eddie, what up, boy?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
What's good, man? What's good?
We great. Appreciate you being flexible. Yo, we just talked to Mike Bibby a couple of minutes ago. He's the new head coach of the Sac State Hornets. How crazy is it that Mike Bibby is a head coach out here?
I didn't graduate, so I don't think I get to call myself an alumni.
But nah, it's fine. You can do what you want.
I do it all the time. I didn't go to Sac State at all. Stingers up. You know the vibes.
Yo, how ill is it, though, to have the GOAT, you know, the King GOAT in a lot of ways, biggest shot, I think, franchise I've ever seen, coming back, repping for the city. He's an Arizona guy, too, so I know he welcomed my guy. I heard a funny story that I can't exactly repeat on air, but he welcomed my guy with open arms when he landed in Phoenix and became, you know, a local. I didn't know Arizona was such an open carry state. You know, that was part of the story.
I've heard.
Your minds run where they run, but apparently Mike is a real cool dude. I've never met him. And like one of the few people was like, yo, I want to meet him because I need him to understand. First off, not only was he the man in Sac for years and years and years, but also, like, Mike had the illest shoe collection of all time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He might just be that dude.
Yeah.
So I think it's dope, man. He's touching down back in the city, and I hope the city embraces him like the king he is.
You talked about it a little bit, and like you said, you lived here. You from here, born and raised in those years. And I think it gets lost on people who maybe aren't necessarily from here. Mike was that dude, and they love Mike Bibby. In Sacramento, there are so many people. I know Miss P is one of them who was like, I like the Kings because Mike Bibby. You hear that more than maybe any other Sacramento King. Like, I've heard it like a dozen times. Like, oh no, I became a Kings fan because I loved Mike Bibby.
Like, you know, it was funny. I didn't think nobody could be cooler than Jay Will. And then they traded for Mike. And at the time, I'm younger and I'm kind of like, why would you do that? And now I grow to understand, like, sometimes you got to lock in, get a little more serious at that position when it's time to compete. But I think nobody would be cooler than him on that. You know, the kids call it aura now. But when Mike showed up with the black jerseys, with the black and chrome 16s or 17s, I'm like, yo, he might be cooler than Jay Will. So, like, he put on for the city, man. And that jersey is an icon out there. So, of course, I got something at the door.
See, hey, is it KD? Hey, do we got to do the pitch for Sacramento here? We'll do it live. If we got to do the pitch live, man. We'll do it.
Whatever. We got to do what we got to do.
Hey,
I've done what I can. Okay. I've done what I can. I hear you. You see what I started in.
Well, I was gonna say. I was gonna say. They out here talking about Eddie without talking about Eddie.
Hey, I'm not gonna confirm or deny. I'm just gonna say there are no coincidences in the Matrix, my friend. But it's funny. I was talking about the Suns this week because obviously they had two big wins, and everybody's like, man, maybe the Suns, you know, they get in the playoffs, they do this, and then you have a big loss, and it's like, maybe the same old Suns. I would guess that the offseason, outcome is pretty much the same. Like, nothing has changed. There is no kind of miracle run that they could make. I mean, I guess in the perfect world, if they get the 8th seed and they beat the Thunder and they make a real serious run, then of course. But I would venture to guess that you know, it's still a status quo out there. Probably looking at replacing a head coach, a pretty good head coach has hit the market about a few hours ago. You're probably looking at trying to see what you can get for KD this summer. And, yeah, I was kind of surprised that Celtics noise hasn't come up sooner. And I think people were waiting for the new ownership and to kind of hear a little bit more about what that was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And once new ownership came in and once we got double, triple confirmed it, like, yeah, that team is going to quietly try to get out of the apron and the tax. Yeah, there's going to be some movement there. Hear stuff all the time. Or, you know, it wouldn't be the first time the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant in a trade. It wouldn't be the first time Kevin has thought about being a Celtic, you know, in a lot of ways. So if he had an advisor in his corner and he was asking that guy what type of team would make the most sense for him, and that guy kind of thought about it and said, man, what about a team that plays five out, lets their guys isolate, a team that switches all day on defense, a team that has a really strong front office and doesn't ask their players to be anything but players. It might sound like the Celtics, and then that guy might be like, man, I gotta take a look over there. So, look, who knows what happens in the summer? That's a Celtics decision as well, but I'm not surprised by the noise coming out.
Let me ask you a Celtics Suns NBA question that we've kind of kicked around a little bit, reading tea leaves. Dame Lillard, he's injured. We don't know when or if he's coming back this year. Milwaukee still got to play games. They got to be in the playoffs. They don't have Dame Lillard. I'm saying probably a first-round exit no matter who they play. Giannis, does this out of nowhere become the summer of Giannis where he finally pulls the trigger and leans on the Bucks to make a move? And I say that with the Celtics because maybe they try to get involved in the Giannis sweepstakes if there is one.
Lots of noise about Giannis. It's kind of the worst-kept figure in the league for some time that Giannis could look to get out at some point. And, you know, things progressing the way they are. They get rid of Middleton this year finally. And they're taking all the swings they can. They went to try to go get Jimmy despite maybe Giannis not necessarily wanting Jimmy. But they wanted to improve that team and make it a team that he couldn't leave. But I'm much like you. If they don't have Dame open in round one, that could be a quick exit for that team. And they have to look at what's going on. I think the loudest noise you'll hear are the two New York teams. They're set up to make that trade a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors, it's been a thing for a long time. And I asked somebody when Jimmy signed his extension, hey, that contract, you know, that number is a little particular. And it was just like a little solid nod, like, yeah. So I don't know.
Oh, he's D'Angelo Russell. Oh, man, it's the Kyrie move all over again.
So I don't know. I don't know that Boston is necessarily involved here, but if Giannis hits the market, everybody's going to call and try to see what that costs. And, you know, it's going to cost you, just like Kevin, upwards of $60 million, some draft picks and the like. And for a guy who's a little bit younger, who's playing on MVP level as well, you're going to see a lot of big swings. If, and I would say maybe when Giannis becomes available.
Man.
I think it might,
man,
it might be the summer of Giannis, because I'm with you. Everybody knows, like, he's not gonna end his career in Milwaukee, and they go out again in the first round, and it's like, all right, man, let's stop doing this dance, because it's over for Milwaukee, that with that group, and that's not even shade. Like, they've been championship level for 7 years now. Like, it always comes to an end, and it's over. And why don't we get a kickstart on what the next move is?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a small market reality as well. And I think it's just the reality of the new CBA is just, we're just not going to spend into oblivion for forever. You know, we're not going to, you know, Wick Goosebick, I forget his last name, but because I just know him as Wick. But anyway, the Celtics VP, he came out and publicly said, it's not necessarily about the money for us. Mm-hmm. It's about the penalties you incur in doing that.
It's the basketball penalties, not the financial penalties.
We can't let a draft pick get frozen. We can't have no flexibility and be able to trade and aggregate salaries and trades and stuff like that. So if you're a team that's looking at it, like, you can only improve so much for the Bucks. And at the deadline, when they were trying to get into the Jimmy Butler news, it was, okay, we have to get rid of Pat Connaughton, who hasn't been playing well as it is, but we have to make this move, subtract this player, just to even make the kind of moves we want to make. And it was just too many roadblocks. So if you're the Bucks, hey, you salute him. You say, hey, your jersey's going in the Raptors. You're getting a statue in the building. Don't worry. You're a legend here. Let's take care of you. That's just the nature of the game now.
And the teams that are doing that, like you brought up the New York squads, like the Knicks, like the Knicks, I think, have been mentioned with both Giannis and Kevin Durant. And teams, I think, will take that. You talk about what Wick said. Teams will take that apron penalty, you know, for a year or two. Teams will take that apron penalty as long as they're winning a championship.
Yeah.
For as long as they're winning a championship. But the second it's like, oh, this is it? All right. That's where you break it apart right there. So you've got that Knicks team that feels like they're kind of right there on the doorstep. I feel like they've been a little disappointing this year. But one swift move and you've got 2-3 years of winning a title and then you start all over. And that might be the reality of most of the league moving forward.
Yeah, and there's a ton of frustration building out there. Just with that team, and obviously Tom Thibodeau is a tough coach to play for. We're seeing these situations, these yelling at players, and then they're talking about our podcast. And look, that happens. That happens. It happened with the Suns. It just happened with the – not the greatest example, but it just happened with the Grizzlies who just fired their coach. But it happens. But there's a lot building there. There's a lot of business relationships that come into play with that team. And when you got a player who's the best player and his dad is literally on the bench every day and kind of can control a lot of things and – I put it like this, the Dante DiVincenzo situation, that's not isolated. You know, there's a lot of guys there who bumping heads and feeling like, dog, like, you're running stuff. So it's a lot of internal drama. You got that with every team, but it is something there. And I don't think they're done with the shape of that team. You know, you're paying OG a ton of money. You're paying Cat a ton of money. And you got these players who are just outright better than them, and it's close in money. You're going to be involved, and you're going to see what you can do. They made an offer for Kevin at the deadline. The problem for the Knicks is they don't have any picks. You know, they gave all those picks up for Mikal Bridges. So you could have a situation where, yes, they're going to be involved in a lot of calls, and one of these players may have to pick the Knicks. One of these players may have to say, hey, that's where I want to go. Or they may have to shed another one of these guys, Mikal Bridges, whomever it may be, to get a few picks to then go back and get back into that trade and go get another one of these guys. But they're going to go big fish hunting, and they're actually not going to have to go too far. Like, there's going to be people in their lake. So they're going to be involved in all of that this summer for sure, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of those dudes ends up there.
I say all the time now, once again, I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Knicks supporter. I want to see the Knicks do well. Okay, there's a difference between that and a fan. But I've said for a long time, like, the legacy play, for all these guys that were free agent, like whether it was KD or when people thought Zion or whoever, the legacy play is to get to the Knicks. Because if you win one in New York, you are immortal forever. Like, forever. Hey, they might, because you know all the media out there, they might try and put you in the top 10 all time just because Jalen Brunson won a title. Well, top 10 NBA player of all time. Jalen Brunson, like, it's different. So if I was Giannis, if I was advising Giannis, I say, man, try and get to the Garden, bro, and try and get one there.
Had a combo a few years back, somebody who was, like, on the market for a while and eventually did get traded. Can narrow down if you want. But anyway, the Knicks was on his list, and we're laughing at him, we're teasing him. Well, we're like, dog, you go to the conference finals out there, you'll be good forever. Like, you'll be straight forever. And then I look at this team now, and I look at guys like the way the city loves Josh Hart. You know what I mean? And this is a hustle guy. He's just, I love him myself, and I'm not even a Knicks fan. So it's like, it's not even a title. Melo's immortal out here, and he only went to the second round. Like, so it's, They definitely take care of their guys and hail their guys out here. And so, yeah, it's a lot to be won. Now, if you are the one who wins the title, oh, man, like, give it up. You're here for good. You're getting your jersey in the Raptors and all that good stuff. So I agree with you. I don't know that players are necessarily choosing their path based on that, but I do agree with you. Like, you would think that would come up.
What are we at, like 55 years? They went in 70, was it 70 and 73, I think. So maybe like 52 years since New York City has had an NBA
champ. Do that even exist in your mind? Like, do that even calculate?
Only through that Phil Jackson picture that they show every time. Like, that's what the Knicks looked like in the 70s? All right, man. Go ahead. Get
Frazier picking Jerry West and getting the and one. That's what I remember. Well,
yeah, y'all got it.
See those clips.
Cool. All
right, the Knicks have been good in my life like twice. So,
yeah. No, for real, like a total years, you're probably looking at less, like five or less. Like where they were.
I think
really
the most close. Legendary Knicks thing I've seen in my lifetime is Larry banked in the shot. And that's like that was the lockout year, and I'm like,
for me, it's Jordan on Charles Smith,
or yeah, Jordan didn't.
All the greatest moments I've seen have been from opponents.
Yeah. Right.
We even remember Ice Tray. Like,
yeah,
a little
Jordan
bit
is great, but the boys be lighting them up in there.
Yeah.
Ice Tray rolled the dice on y'all court, man.
He did roll the dice. Rolling dice, and it was freezing.
It's probably like three of them out there in New York. It's CeeLo.
Yo, this like really, like this really a game up it here is, in the third quarter.
Maryland came to play. Maryland came to play.
Bumpy. I was watching at the gym. Like, man, me on.
Yes, out Maryland.
Hey, yo, that's my hot take too. The women's tournament. I'm not trying to be like super cool basketball internet guy, but much better than the men's tournament.
It's popping.
Like, it's even organized better. Like, I was trying to watch Cooper Flag last night, and I get 2 minutes of basketball, and I get 9 minutes of commercials, and then I get another 3 minutes of basketball, and another 9 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to catch the highlights. I believe y'all. I'm sure it was good.
Now, Cooper was crazy, though. Yeah. Cooper is
the best. They talk about the best freshman of all time, the best tournament performer. They're going to make me a Cooper Flag hater, and I don't want to. Somebody might be a hater.
Eddie, I ain't going to say.
I saw Melo. Like, let's relax. Well, I saw KD.
I ain't going to say he ooh, better than KD. Those guys. Oh my God. I think he's the best, and KD's up there, too. Like
Texas
KD,
is crazy.
Yeah, but he's on that level. I haven't seen freshmen
I'm
like that.
I'm not going to quote Kevin. I am about to quote Kevin. He said, what about Beasley? I'm like, all right. What about him, though? You're right. Beasley was a cold freshman. Like, what are we doing? But he definitely stood tall on Melo's tournament run. Absolutely better than what Cooper Flagg is doing right now. He's not done. He might finish.
No, and I
but
said,
I know KD.
And I
KD
said he's the best. He's the best since Melo. Or at least the run is. Like, KD was crazy, too. So I don't want to put him over KD.
Yeah,
like,
the season versus the tournament is different.
Since then,
he had a great
you've been going crazy.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I might end up being the Cooper Flag hater. I asked this question on Twitter, and nobody gave me the right answer because it's not a right answer. But it was, has a white NBA player ever had this level of expectation? Now, obviously, I said in the internet age because obviously Larry Bird.
Yeah.
But even like Larry's the only other one.
Yeah, even so, Luka.
I think it's
going to
be interesting how the media handles that. Like that is a different dynamic. Mm.
Yeah. No, this is brand new, man. But that was a legit performance from him. Last night you mentioned the couple of wins that the Suns got before that Boston beatdown. You think Dallas is showing life? Like you think that's real?
I mean, look, their schedule is nicer than everybody's as well. And then the other problem, which we know very well, is the Suns and the Kings play in the final game of the season. So I really think we're headed towards the scenario where this is all up in the air until the final day of the season. You know, Kings finally showed some life last night. I was happy to see it. We'd like to see some more, obviously. But it's going to be tough. It's going to go down to the wire. And I think, obviously, as AD gets some more minutes under him and kind of gets back out there, that's a tough team. My thing about that team is when you get towards the end of that bench and now you're playing these guys who are scratching and clawing, even just to be in the league, you're going to get a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of defense from that team. And I think Jason Kidd's a really good coach. Now he has a dog in AD where it's like, okay, he can give us 30. He can protect the paint for us. We can actually get into some of our stuff. They're not that bad, man. They're not that bad. So that race for that 10th spot is going to be tough. Suns on the outside looking in now. We got a tough game against a team they do not play well against tonight in the Timberwolves. We might be looking at three play-in games with the de facto play-in game on the final game of the season. I'm sorry, Sacramento, but we were with the Kings that night.
I don't want to. Hopefully it don't come down to that because I don't want to see KD and them in the play-in game.
We said if the Kings win five – they have to win that last game of the season against Phoenix, and they'll get in. If they win six, they probably don't have to beat Phoenix the last game.
Yeah. And the Suns still have another game against the Celtics. They have some tough games still. So it's like they have a big road trip coming up, East Coast road trip. They've actually played the Knicks. They play the Warriors. They got some tough games left on their schedule. Nothing is a given with that team, man. Like Kevin and Book having to play 40 minutes tonight. They're playing playoff rotation – playoff intensity now. All that scratch call intensity. Again, that's why I say temper your expectations with this team in this offseason, despite those two big wins. Great win against the Cavs. Great win against the Bucks with no Dame. But this is a team that, you know, me and all the fans are saying, yo, if they play these two rookies, including a late second rounder, you know, that'll change things. But we're talking about two limited guys. I love Ryan Dunn. I love Oso Iguodala. Two limited guys on offense. Yeah, they provide energy and athleticism, but like that's going to save your season. This is a team that is fighting to be 500 going into April. That was not the expectation for the highest payroll in the league, for two of the 10 best players in the league coming into the season, for three $50 million Supermax players. This is far below expectations, so something has to change. And I'm a little worried, man. I'm a little worried that they're going to be on the outside looking in, and we'll be frustrating. But, again, we'll just kind of kick off the summer and get whatever is next started, and that's kind of what they need. Rip the Band-Aid off at this point.
Hey, man, check this out, because I know you've had a lot of fun with it since it happened. But LeBron, Stephen A., this week, look, LeBron has the platform to clap back at these guys and do what he wants to do. He wasn't wrong for it. I just thought I would have liked to see, after he pulled up on him at the game, I would have liked to seen that been it from LeBron's side. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't, and he didn't spend the whole interview talking about Stephen A., so it was just a clip, but I would like him at this point to just treat Stephen A. like he does Skip Bayless, like he doesn't exist. Because you said something in one of your playbacks, man. It's just all it is this reaction to the reaction to the reaction. And LeBron above that, man. LeBron ain't got to deal with all that. That's what
it's starting to feel a little Drake and Kendrick-y. Like, leave us alone now, guys. Like,
leave us alone.
I want to move on to the next thing. I don't blame LeBron for clapping back, so to speak. And he is right in that Stephen A. went on a tour, and now he's going on another tour. But the thing is, that's Stephen A.'s job, is to go on tours yelling and screaming and to react to things. LeBron is in his right, and he went to the biggest stage and grabbed the biggest mic and said it as loud as he could, all the things he could. And I think it's funny. But, yeah, it's a point where I do want this to end and just, like, kind of be over with. So, yeah, it's a little bit poetic justice. He loses the way he loses in Michael Jordan, the building Michael Jordan built.
That was crazy.
On the very next day. It's to the point where, like, they're both kind of wrong. Like, I almost don't care who's right and who's wrong at this point. It's like, y'all just take me out the group chat. But I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. And we're going to, much like Drake and Kendrick, anything them two do, especially Stephen A., is going to be shrouded by this for some time. And, you know, it's frustrating, but everybody yelling at me like, well, it's a win because look how many views. I'm like, bro, we have to get out of that perspective. Like, just because you're being talked about don't mean you win. You can be laughed at. Like, sometimes it's not good, but yeah, hopefully at some point we get back to basketball here. Lakers got more to worry about than Stephen A. Smith right now.
We haven't even talked about that game last
night. That was crazy.
5-point lead with 12 seconds left.
Yeah. That was crazy.
I turned it off. I said, Giddy missed this left-handed floater thing, airballed it. And I'm like, okay, let's see what Cooper Flagg's doing. All of a sudden, my mentions are getting blown up. Like, because I made a joke about missing. I said, he missed that floater like he's a gambler. And they're like, yeah, and then he hits a half-court shot for the game. I'm like, what? And I go back and I couldn't believe that, bro.
The crazy thing about that is I didn't see what happened, and I was watching like a clip, and they showed the part where they were down five, Patrick Williams scores a three, they get the steal, Kobe White hits a three, they go up by one, and I, like, somebody had called me or I distracted or whatever, I was like, psh, that was crazy how that game ended. Kobe White with that three. I didn't know there was more to like 30 minutes. I was like, oh man, they right. That was a crazy
ending. There was two more lead changes.
Yo, LeBron gave up 9 points in 12 seconds. I don't think I've ever seen that.
LeBron turned over the inbounds pass is crazy.
Yeah. He just dropped the ball out there too. I'm like, it wasn't even close to five. Why did
I ain't
do
gonna
that?
Lie. If it wasn't the king, I'd be like, hey. What sort of prize picks wager did you have on this?
I said in the group chat today, I said, look, I know it's LeBron, so like everything's hyperbole, but was that the worst stretch of his career? like that was pretty nasty.
The pick that his social today,
young man. I'll start done. I'm not gonna say it, but anyway, it was like you get a buzzer, you get a half quarter hit on you by that dude.
Someone said Giddy got to put that photo in his house. Over an outstretched LeBron hitting that half court joint.
I'm not talking like 5x7 either.
No,
like Bron's in there signing. Like,
that's a mural.
Be cool about it and sign it.
It's not even on a canvas. Like, it's on the wall.
Right, right.
It's ingrained in the wall. With LeBron's Sharpie signature on it.
No, we painting the wall.
You thinking big.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in 2025. You're in 2050.
Yeah, man.
That was crazy. That was crazy, though. That was even better because people were like, I've never seen anything like this. And like I said, I told you I didn't even see the end at first. And I was like, that was cool. It kind of reminded me. Didn't the Nets do that this year? Against somebody, they hit like two.
Yeah, they like won like five. They were down five with like 10 seconds to go on one. Yeah. Like same kind of thing.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it was kind of like that. But little did I know there was more. So
no, a half court joint for the game over LeBron,
and the Bulls.
It's funny because like, what do you do? How tough do you guard the half court shot? You mess around with Allen, but
yeah.
Yo, the crazy thing is
King would have fouled him. Not the King, but a King would have fouled him.
For LaRavia would have fouled him. But, you know, we were really, really upset that the Kings lost to the Bulls earlier in the week. And they should have won that game. They was up by 19. So you're still upset by that. But, like, Bulls are, like, top three hottest team in the league right now. Like, they're hooping right now. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they'll win their play-in game and make the playoffs.
Yeah, they smacked my agenda in the face with a tweet earlier that was like, look how much better the Bulls are since the trade and the Kings are since. I was like, I don't know. I haven't watched all the games. I haven't seen it all. But, man, they look great right now. And Kobe, I mean, they've been high on him all year. And the news all year has been like, yeah, they're going to go back younger. Not necessarily build around Kobe, but they're going to have Kobe as a big part of what they're doing going forward. And it's panning out. And he's finally gotten healthy. And he's looking like the dude that his biggest supporters knew he was. That's a piece you can build on.
He's like that.
A point guard who can score like that in every way. You know, and he gets to the rim. He obviously is hitting big jumpers. I love this game. He had this meme when he was in the summer league, and he was just saying, I'm mid. He's talking about where he's guarding on the court. And I'm like, yeah, he ain't mid no more. He looking nice. So I want to see what happens with him. I want to see him in some playoff games. So. Yeah, hopefully they do get into playing and they make something happen. But look, let's be honest, guys. Best team in the league is the Celtics.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you at all. I think I'm still going to hold on to the Knicks prediction until they
okay,
are
eliminated. Dude, you got to let that go.
I got to stay. I'm not going to pivot yet until I see it in the playoffs because Brunson will come back and everything.
That smoke, so. I hope we get that serious because he want that smoke. And he didn't lit them up a few times.
That's my boy, too. But come into the garden. It's different. Different.
You really act like you're not a Knicks fan.
He had him 40 last time he walked in there, so he ain't worried.
You get so worked up when you talk about the Knicks, and you act like you're not a Knicks fan.
I'm a Knicks supporter. That's all. I'm a Knicks supporter.
Eddie, we appreciate you, man, as always. Thanks for moving things around a little bit for us. We didn't want to miss our Friday convo.
Hey, for Mike Bibby, you got it. You got it.